Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke. I'm joined today by UW Parkside Police Officer Kurt Bergendahl. Kurt, thanks for making time to be on Parkside today.
Well, thanks for having us, John. We really appreciate this.
Always a pleasure to have law enforcement here. But wait a second, you're the first law enforcement officer that I think we've had here on Parkside today.
It's the first time we've been on with this show. We've been on WIPZ before, but it's been a number of years.
Well, tell us a little bit about how long Kurt Bergendahl has been here at UW Parkside, how you became a member of the police department. Give us a little bit of who you are.
Yeah, it was kind of a journey for me. I went through Gateway's program and then started applying to be a police officer. I wasn't getting hired anywhere. And lo and behold, Parkside had an opening. I had a friend that was working here, and I started as a part-time officer about 22 years ago. So I've been here a long time. Became a full-time officer about 2 years after that, and went to day shift pretty quickly. I only spent a few years on nights, but I bounced around and done a little bit of everything on this campus. I've done everything from our traffic and everything else we do on this campus and providing safety and security for all of our students, faculty, staff.
From the department standpoint, do the different officers have more specialized responsibilities, or is it kind of you're doing all kinds of different things during the course of a shift or a week?
Yeah, it's really neat here, and that's part of the reason why a lot of our officers stay here. We've got the most longevity of all the UW system police departments. Most of our officers have been here over 15 years. Several of us have been here over 20 years. And part of it is because of the unique things we get to do. We get to specialize in so many different things. Usually if you're at a police department, you are a patrol officer, a detective, a lieutenant, something like that. And here, we have the opportunities to do everything. Our officers, we have a chief of police, a sergeant on the evenings, and then it's just officers. So we don't have a detective bureau. So basically we say you catch it, you clean it. So you get that case, you're handling it all the way through. You're not handing it off to somebody else. But a lot of our officers do specialize in things too. I've been to detective school. I'm also a background investigator for new employees. So I do a lot of that. I do active shooter response and training. I'm a national instructor in that. So we get opportunities to do so much more. We wear so many hats here and do so much that it's inviting to new officers. It's neat to be able to do all these different things within one agency and not have to go to be just a detective or go to do just this or just that. We get to do just a huge myriad of different things that you wouldn't get to do anywhere else. I've had opportunities here that I would have never had anywhere else. There's drawbacks to that too. We don't have the opportunity to hand those cases off to somebody else. We don't have the opportunity to do a lot of things. And on day shift, we do a lot of community service things that most agencies wouldn't do. We're out there kind of teaching. We guest lecture in a lot of classes. We provide a lot of services to the community. If you went to the city of Kenosha or city of Racine and ran out of a gallon of gas for your car, we do that for you. We'll bring that gas out at no charge. Not on a daily basis. You can't call us every day and say, hey, I'm out of gas again. So I got to work. We'll give you enough to get to the gas station. But we also do lockouts where people lock their keys in their car. We'll get them into their cars. And so many services that you won't see at other agencies, we still provide. Jump-starting cars, things like that. We're here to help the students succeed. And if doing little things like that help, then we do it. And we do other unique programs that we've adopted from other agencies across the country. Coffee with a Cop, we do that now. And that's just been a huge success. I think it's partially because we're giving out free coffee, cocoa, and donuts.
Could be.
But it works great because it gets people to interact with us and get beyond the blue bags that we wear and just see us as people and have that opportunity. And it helps break down some of those barriers that we have nationwide between our law enforcement and our general citizens. We're all about doing that. Break down those barriers. See me as a person. I'm a dad. I'm a brother. I'm a husband. You know, I'm an athlete. I'm all these other things. Yes, am I a police officer? And does that make up a large portion of the past 20 some years of my life? Yes, but that's not, that doesn't define me. This blue bag doesn't define who I am. So we want people to get past that and see us as people and treat us that way. That's what you get in return. So that's we get unique opportunities to do that with our community here.
The time you've been here, more than 20 years, a lot has changed in 20 years. Unfortunately, pr- probably one of the things that's changed is the fact that we do active shooter training on campus. Maybe didn't do that 20 years ago. Certainly a service that, while it's unfortunate that the police department has to provide that service, it's a good thing that they do provide that service to help maintain a safe campus. How did you get started doing that, and what's kind of gone into your process of training and providing that that training here on campus?
Yeah, it is unfortunate, but it's the world we're in now, and we want to be at the forefront of that. And what really did that was a previous administration at the governor's office had seen the things that were happening nationwide and dictated, number one, that all the UWs have police departments. It didn't always used to be that way.
And when you say police departments, you're talking about state-licensed police officers versus more of a security force.
Correct. And it's a huge difference between having a law enforcement agency and security guards or security officers at a school. Mm-hmm. We have full arrest powers. We have the full authority of a regular law enforcement officer in a municipality. We're state officers. We're state-licensed. We go through the same academies as any other police department. And like I previously said, I think we do even more. We provide many more services and much more training than you would get from your typical, what you'd call your typical street cop out in the municipality, because our officers are so well-trained in so many different facets of law enforcement that it just makes them a better, well-rounded officer. So I think our officers are better trained than a lot of other agencies. And we do training with these other agencies around us. Mm-hmm. We work with the city of Kenosha County, almost exclusively with Kenosha County because we're in the county. Mm-hmm. We work really well with all of them, and we reach out beyond that. But what really brought active shooter was the governor and then creating those police departments and then addressing the fact that we need to be able to address these situations in higher ed because that's where they were starting to happen. And that brought about many of my colleagues and I getting sent to training to teach officers how to respond and what to do. Mm-hmm. And we spent a week on a military base up north in January in a facility that wasn't completed yet with no heat. And it was an interesting time, but it was great because we got a fantastic foundation on how to train officers. And we came back. And when I got back, the chief had already been talking to the administration at the university, and they thought it was great. But one of the questions they had is, well, what are we going to do for, you know, faculty, staff, and students? They want to know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
My response was, run, Forrest, run. I was sent to teach the officers what to do.
Yeah.
And we had to quickly, you know, my colleagues across the state were having the same problems. They were getting back to their agencies and everybody was, what do we do? And we were all kind of clueless. You know, we were teaching the guys with the guns and the vests what to do and not thinking about what we're going to do. So a lot of different thoughts were going on and different people were doing different things throughout the state. Mm-hmm. We've changed that recently. We were all buying different programs that were out there that were originally developed back in the 70s and 80s for workplace violence, and they just slapped a new tag on it and sent it out. And that's the best we could do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It has grown immensely since then. I was just recently in Madison about a week and a half ago where Madison invited all the Big Ten schools to do a new video just for our schools in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And they invited all of the collective UWs. And it was just phenomenal training. It was great. We had a great time. Hopefully the video will be ready. I saw a rough draft of it last week. It's just about done. I think it's going to be great. It was shot kind of as a action documentary.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of body cameras and GoPros and things like that that were on different people. And I think it's going to be a great new way to show how we respond. And also they interviewed a lot of the student actors that were involved and faculty and staff that were involved in the training video. And I think it's going to be great. And we hope to roll it out when the semester starts. Mm-hmm. That's the ideal thing. And it'll give us just one more tool to help teach.
So over the course of the time that you've been doing the active shooter training here on campus, how has what you train or the messages or the process, how has that evolved and changed?
Yeah, that's really evolved too. And I tell people if they've taken a class that we've provided to, you know, yearly, just even if you just watch a video or something like that off of our website, just to, you know, refresh. But also if you get the opportunity to take another class, and we offer them all the time, to come sit in on one, because there's always things, different mindsets, different little tricks and tips that we can give that help. I've also become an ALICE instructor, which is what they were teaching in the local Unifieds. So I went to that school. The chancellor actually saw it. The schools reached out to the higher ed schools and said, hey, do you want to send a representative? The chief then got it and said, hey, you want to go? Yes. I want to know what the students coming into our institution are going to know. Mm-hmm. So I went. I actually became an instructor in ALICE, which is nationally recognized. It's the only one that's recognized by the federal government. The school, the Board of Education, everybody recognizes this as this is the elite way to train students K through 12 and higher ed. So I became an instructor in that. That's much more in depth, and it isn't something we've taken on here at Parkside yet. It may happen that, but what I did is I took the best parts of that, kind of like a comedian, steal good material and don't give anybody credit for it. I give ALICE the credit, but I take some of that material and interject it into the training that we do teach. If you take one of my classes, it's like an hour and a half, but I think it's very valuable. People that have taken it have all said, I never thought of that, or, you know, it just, it opens your mind, because we know that people that have thought about it have a tendency to survive. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to get. We want to have high survival rates if we have this happen here.
Mm-hmm. And can you easily summarize or give a few highlights of what makes the ALICE training different than what you were doing prior to that, without going into a lot of detail?
Yeah, without going into a lot of detail, one of the biggest things that we teach is just to do something, not to just sit there. If anything, you just do something. You have to take some kind of an action. And we don't, in ALICE, we don't retrain your brain. What you know, whether or not you have that run, hide, or fight in you, we just tell you to go with what you have. So if you're a runner, run. If you're a fighter, fight. If you're one of those people that, I'm just going to freeze up, okay, find some place good to hide.
Yeah.
And then work with other people within that area and, you know, develop a team aspect of how to get out of there. You can't rely on the police to get there. We're fortunate on this campus, most of our officers can get someplace in like 30 seconds or so.
Right.
Yeah. It's not that way. The national average is much, much longer. And we also know that the average of these shootings is like 7 to 12 minutes from start to finish. Well, the national average of response time is 12 or 14 minutes. That's a problem. You can't wait for us.
Right, right. What do you think is the, from the law enforcement standpoint, if you were to, and I'm by no means, you know, hoping that this happens and that you get an opportunity to do this, but if you were to encounter something like this, what is law enforcement's biggest concern, challenge in that particular situation?
And this is part of what I teach also is, we teach the officers to watch for those hands and look for those open, you know, hands, because we know that if there's a weapon there, that's what can hurt us. Mm-hmm. If there isn't a weapon there, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we teach them, and that's what I teach people is, we just want to see open palms, nothing in them, you know, and then we'll deal with you and get you out of there.
Right.
But just show us your hands and let us see that you're not a threat, so that we can quickly address you and move on. In that aspect, we're hunting, really. We're looking for that person and trying to end that. And we don't have time to sit with every person and talk to you.
Right.
So we just want to see the open hands. We'll get you someplace safe, and we're going to keep going.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing that the public can do for us is let us see those open hands and then just do whatever we tell you to do.
Right, right. Some of the other training, talk about some of the other training that goes on campus that the police department is involved with for faculty, staff, and students.
Yeah, we provide all kinds of opportunities. I always tell people, you know, use us, don't abuse us. We're here to, we're underutilized, I feel. We're getting utilized more in the classrooms. We're asked to come in and guest lecture in a lot of the criminal justice programs. Some of those professors have really learned what a valuable asset they have at their disposal. So we come into those classes. But we're underutilized across the campus for other things, and we provide so many different opportunities to teach different aspects, not just in law enforcement. I provide spin classes. I'm an avid cyclist.
Right.
So I do spin classes during Ranger Wellness, and I provide that to the whole community. Mm-hmm. And it's just an opportunity for me to provide some other service that I can do that helps out. So there's, our officers are just so well-rounded people that let us come and talk and help and provide other services. Officer Andertrack, she was just in Madison today doing some training. She's spearheading the YHAP, which is the, we have options mm-hmm. on our campus. And that's something that, we're only the second, university and the second or third law enforcement institution in the nation that is going to be bringing this aboard. So mm-hmm. there's so many things that we're doing that aren't really seen, and we don't do it for any kind of glory or anything like that. We do it because we want to provide these things to our students, our faculty, our staff, everybody, our sure. community.
Sure. Is it more in the different training sessions that you do? Do you see more students being involved, faculty, staff, or is it kind of across the board? Depends.
Yeah, it really depends on what it is. Active shooter, we see a smash of everybody. Some of the other trainings, unfortunately, Craig Rafferty, one of my colleagues that comes and does a lot of those trainings during the noon hour,
mm-hmm.
Right here in this building, in the student center upstairs, we're providing classes several times a month, and nobody will show up. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be sitting in a room by himself, 15, 20 minutes, and then, all right, pack it up.
Yeah,
nobody's
yeah.
coming. But we provide classes from identity theft, basic safety, active shooter. I mean, just so many different things that we provide that it's just, it's sad that it's underutilized. And I don't mm-hmm. know if it's that we've looked at other times and things like that. I teach self-defense classes. I was hoping to have dates to give out today, but I don't have them yet. But okay. I'm going to be teaching one a month.
Mm, okay.
So, and these are all free too. And that's what, we can't do much more. And a 4-hour self-defense class on a Saturday morning or Saturday evening, it's 1 hour of classroom, 3 hours of hands-on. And everybody that's taken it has said it's been like some of the best they've ever had. I've had, 8th and 9th degree black belt karate students come in and say, this is more practical than my 20 or 30 years of karate.
Wow.
So, and again, it's just a myriad of different things that I've learned throughout the years that I teach officers, and then stealing good material from MMA and from other things
sure.
and combining it into one great class that I can provide that service. And that's another thing that we do.
I know you've told me before that on the self-defense class that you've been requested. You've got people saying, oh, can you do the self-defense class again? When are you going to do that? They're interested in that yeah. particular training.
Yeah. I mean, that's been hugely popular since we brought it to the campus. And it was unfortunate that I was the only one that was able to do it for a long time. We've got a new officer that came on board that I've recently trained with, got her up to speed, and she's going to be co-teaching with me. So we're going to be doing more of it, and hopefully I'll be able to make the classes a little bit larger. I was capping them at 8 people, and it was just, you sign up. I put the dates on our website. You sign up. It alerts me that X amount of people have signed up, and then I conduct the class on that date. I'm hoping to maybe double the size of classes now, get it up to 16, as long as I'm able to have Jessica there with me to co-teach.
Mm-hmm.
That way we have enough time to get around to each group and make sure that they're getting good reps in and really learning something, a valuable skill.
Look at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and some people may see it as classrooms and students and teachers and instructors and professors, but it really is a mini city or mini community, isn't it? I mean, you see that, I assume you would see that very clearly as a police officer who's here sometimes more than 8 hours a day, more than 5 or 6 days a week.
Well, yeah, we do 10-hour shifts, so I'm seeing it for 10 hours a day. Yeah, it really is. It's a small community within itself, and I'm fortunate enough that I'm all over that community. I get to see everything. I mean, there's a lot of folks that come here, and they're not able to, they work in a specific building or specific area of campus, and they're not able to enjoy the whole community. And mm-hmm. I'm unique, and I love that because I'm able to get out everywhere and get a little bit of everything. And mm-hmm. it's fabulous. I mean, that's why I love working here. And it really is a small community within itself, and we have such an opportunity to reach out and get to know everybody. Our officers aren't known necessarily just by their last names. A lot of us go by our first names. I mean,
mm-hmm.
around campus, it's Officer Kurt.
Yeah.
Number one, because everybody screws up Bergendahl, but I'm okay with
good
that.
Reason.
I'm okay with Officer Kurt.
Yeah.
And you know, the only reason why we ask people to go ahead and put the officer in there is just showing respect for the badge, not for us.
Mm-hmm.
The badge and for what it represents. That's all we're asking. Otherwise I go by a first name. I'm fine with that. I mean, I've arrested students and then have them hug me 3 years later when they come across the stage graduating. So it's a great thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we were able to make that impact with students.
Talk to me a little bit about, you mentioned it earlier, the partnerships or the collaboration with some of the other law enforcement agencies in the area. You mentioned Kenosha County. I know you work with the folks at in Mount Pleasant. How does that partnership, collaboration, how does that work?
It's really unique. Because we're a state institution, we don't deal with some of the politics that you would deal with within other agencies where, you know, they want to make sure that they're not asking for help from others because they have to show that they need more bodies and things like that. And we're just here on kind of an island saying, hey, we'll help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really unique and it's interesting. You know, we've had unfortunate incidents, you know, around our community, around Parkside, where we built on those because of that. And our dealings with Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, not to mention that many officers started out here at Parkside that are now in Mount Pleasant, Racine County, Racine City, Kenosha County, all over the community. And that's what kind of brings us all together because they understand that we're here to serve everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it really gives us an opportunity to work well with all these other agencies and do training with them. So it's a fabulous partnership.
So if you interact or have to interact with somebody in your professional position as a police officer, and maybe you're out there on Highway 31 or on County A or E, do you ever get kind of the reaction from people like, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? You're from Parkside. You're not a policeman.
Yeah, it's quite comical. We get that all the time. You know, I'll pull over, you know, folks that have nothing to do with Parkside. They're on Highway 31 and they're traveling, and it could be during an act, you know, campaign like now where we have the drive sober, get pulled over. That's a statewide campaign that we're involved in.
Right.
So we're out there doing traffic enforcement, looking for folks that might be under the influence of intoxicants. And I pull a community member over that has no ties to the Parkside, and they'll be like, you know, cause I always approach the car and hi, I'm Officer Bergenall, Parkside Police. The reason why I stopped you is this. Well, I don't even go to Parkside. What do you can't stop me. And they look at us as security guards or whatever. And I've had people that won't talk to me. They'll get on the phone, call 911, and I'll have sheriff deputies come out there. Back when I was on nights, I had them come out and have to, you know, tell the person, listen, this is a cop and he's going to take you to jail if you don't work with him. So it's comical. I mean, I've gone through the whole myriad. I mean, I still have faculty members that have been here for 30, 40 years that may remember when we had security way long ago when the institution first started 50 years ago. We've had a police department here for 40 plus years at least, and they don't realize that it's kind of an insult, but most of us that have been here for so long, I just, whatever, you know.
Yeah. And you guys, I know you work hard to build the trust or the relationship. Like you talked about, you want to be seen as a person. Yes, you have a job to do, an important job to do here at campus, but each of you is more than just a police officer. And what are some of the things that you're doing to create those stronger relationships?
Yeah, I mean, it's doing things like this, you know, talking on the radio, but having like the coffee with a cap, having an opportunity for students just to come talk to us about nothing specific. It doesn't even have to be about law enforcement, but we can answer some of those questions for them and break down some of those barriers and then maybe create relationships that foster positive concepts and attitudes towards law enforcement that weren't there. I understand there's good cops, there's bad cops, but there's good and bad in every profession.
Mm-hmm.
And just because a police officer did something knuckleheaded in Florida or Texas or halfway across the country or halfway around the world, and they associate that bad thing with the uniform, and then they put that on us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that we got to try to break down. Just remember that we're not all the same. We're all individuals and we have a job to do. Unfortunately, we understand that, you know, people are going to pin that on us. We're trying to break that down. We're trying to create those good, positive you know, relationships and opportunities. That's why quite often when I see tours around campus, I'll stop and jump in. And the students have all gotten used to it. Troy's okay with it now too. But yeah. I'll jump in on those tours and talk to the students that are coming to Parkside, that are looking at Parkside, the family, and ask them, do you have any questions of us? Because you may not have that opportunity everywhere you go to visit. So talk to me.
Sure.
And it was funny. I did one of those with the chancellor a number of years ago, and we did like a private tour for some students that came, or for a student and her parents. And it wasn't 15 minutes later, she was signing with our soccer team after we did the tour. Mm-hmm. So, and that was just an interesting thing where I came across the chancellor was doing it, and I had already done several of these previously, but she was trying to get into the Sparks Activity Center. It was locked up, and she waved out, Kirk, do you got keys? Of course I do. And we went in, and then I joined in on it and added even more. And then I challenged those parents because they said they were going to some other schools across the states. And I said, I challenge you to have a tour with the chancellor and one of the police officers.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, I mean, and I've done that ever since. And I love telling that story, and I do it all the time. And now our campus ambassadors just know. They'll be like, yep, this is Officer Kurt that we told you about that might stop by.
You know,
it's kind of like a Bigfoot sighting. I might stop by, but I usually jump in for anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the questions and things.
Right. Do you find when you're walking around campus that you have to, as a police officer, I'm guessing that you're, you know, you have to be on, you got to be aware, you got to be looking for things. Is it sometimes hard to separate watching for things and just enjoying the campus?
Yeah. One of the other things I do is I'm one of the bicycle officers here too. So quite often I get to get out on a bike, and, you know, we'll keep it a secret that I won't tell the chief on those days I don't need to be paid. But, you know, I do occasionally like kind of marvel and like, you know, I've posted things on my Facebook and said, you know, here's my office today, and do a panoramic of this campus. And, you know, people are like, oh, you know, jealous. And it's even hard sitting in here right now because I want to be looking around, but I'm looking at you and talking on the radio, and I want to be looking out these windows to see what's going on.
What's going on out there?
Right. Yeah. So
I don't think there's...
There's not a lot going on, but there's people out there.
Yeah, right.
So things like that, it is difficult, but it's every once in a while we take a pause and get to enjoy, you know, where we're at.
Yeah. So how'd you get into the biking? You're an avid cyclist. How'd that start?
That was a huge thing as a kid and just grew up. I mean, being in the Kenosha community and having one of the oldest operating velodrome in the United States.
Yeah.
I grew up on that velodrome. I raced for years and then got away from it and, you know, went to school and then family and everything else. And I actually got way out of shape as a police officer. And then I started training to get back in shape because my wife said she wasn't raising the kids alone. And I started training, and then I set a goal to race in the police and fire world games. And
how many years ago was that? Was that six or seven?
Yeah, I did that in 2011 now.
Okay.
So it was a little while back, but that was the huge precursor to get me back physically fit and then also help others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've done ever since is I raced in that, and I did really well. But after that was my last really big race. I've done stuff locally, but the last few years, it's just more of a pleasure thing. It's a pain because I'll do 50 some miles a day, but it's for pleasure, and I really enjoy it. And it keeps me physically fit, and then I can also use that to help teach spin classes in the fall. And I've had several people that want me to do it year round, and I'm thinking about it. But
yeah,
we need better equipment here at Parkside for that. So I'm working with athletics to see if maybe that'll happen in the near future, and maybe that's something I'll do and provide year round.
Sure. Well, it's an interesting, to be able to, you know, having been here for 18 years and knowing a lot of you guys on the force and seeing the things that you do, you know, certainly the things that you do as a police officer to keep the campus safe, but also all the things that you do that are not really involved with, I have to, you know, talk to this person about what you're doing or what you're not doing, the spin classes, the training. So it's good that you guys are here. It keeps the campus safe.
Yeah, and all of our officers, like I said, we're people. So Officer Andercheck makes fabulous cupcakes. She could open her own shop if she wanted to, and she paints. So, I mean, our officers have huge talents that we do outside of work. That's our way of kind of decompressing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell even young officers or when I speak in some of the classrooms here, I tell them, I say, find something that you're passionate about and find a way to incorporate that into your career choice. And in law enforcement, that's, I mean, just about anything you do, you can incorporate it in.
Sure.
So mine, cycling, it's great. I mean, I'm able to get out there and ride and have a blast in the summer.
Well, Kurt, the time, I always like to, well, I don't like to because the time goes by quickly, but when the show comes to a close, it's surprising to me how fast it goes by. Today went by really fast, I thought. So I take that as we had a good conversation. I appreciate you being on Parkside today, and good luck with the self-defense classes, the safety classes, and we'll look forward to seeing you around campus.
Yeah, and everybody stay tuned to our website. You can go to the Parkside website, search engine type police. It'll bring you to ours, and you can look for a myriad of classes on there, including the self-defense classes.
Great. Officer Kurt Bergendahl has been our guest on Parkside Today.